Hey, everybody, this is Bevan. Welcome to Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. I've said my name three times. It's time to start the show. My co-host, Biscuit Reynolds, is in spirit, and that sucks. I mean, it's great. Great for him. He needed to be free of his earthly body. It sucks for me because I am adjusting to life on the earth plane without him. And this is not a podcast episode about my group, about my cat. It's a podcast episode about habits and being a mindful person in terms of how you create your life, because habits are basically, habits are just behavior you do repeatedly. Your thoughts that you think become your behavior, which your behavior that you repeat becomes your habits, and your habits are what create your life. So they're actually really essential and important. And your habits are either making a life that you want to live and creating the world outside of your life that you want to live in, or they're deteriorating your life, right? Like, and like, you just kind of become what you do repeatedly. So I just want to encourage you to develop the kind of life that you intentionally want to lead instead of living a life by your default. This episode was inspired by some Instagram stories, besties, in response to a how can I help you post. So if there are things you'd love for me to address on future solo episodes or in interviews with my friends, send me an email, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. And before I get into the meat of today's podcast, I just wanted to remind you the best way to support my podcast is through my Patreon page. I am basically a fully crowdfunded, supported artist. I can draw a direct line between the funding that I had 5 years ago when I started this Patreon page to the art that I'm creating now. I'm so grateful for all the development I've been able to do and for the container that it is to help me continue to develop as an artist and creator. I want to keep creating free work. This podcast is free. And I have a blog that has free archives going back to 2008, which is like very cringe for me, because the person I was in 2008 is very different from the person I am now, but the core of me is still the same. I'm still like the light that I want to be in the world, and I want to continue to shine that light brighter. And I know that I've been able to do that through my work with habits, but also because of my Patreon page, because we do still live in capitalism and I got to pay rent and bills, and would love to keep doing that. So my Patreon page is Patreon, patreon.com/FKDP. It's a safe and secure site that allows folks like you to support creators like me who create work that you value. There's lots of stuff I offer inside the Patreon that is not available to the wide world. I teach an aerobics class called Fat Kid Dance Party Aerobics, which is for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. If you've ever been called too much, too fat, or felt too awkward to dance, mine is the supportive class for you. I have been teaching a really cool grief stretch modality that I've just been developing over the winter. I just kind of got it in my head that the best way I could serve in these times was to help people increase their capacity for grief, because frankly, I think grief practice is in many ways joy practice, and it's a nervous system practice. A lot of cultures have grieving protocols that are part of their culture, and Western culture is very afraid of death and dying. And of course, there are lots of things you can grieve that aren't death and dying. But anyway, so it's been a really cool way for me to just expand what I can offer for movement. And I also offer a full length aerobics class on the weekends, and those are all via Zoom. And at any level of Patreon support, you can join those Zoom classes. And I also have spiritual self-care tips and things that I don't share widely in the wide worlds that are available there. I also have an on-demand tier of support. So you can do my classes from anywhere. And I've really developed a fun menu of options and different time lengths of class and different styles and classes that are just in a chair. And I'm really here to meet you where you're at and help you develop habits and behaviors that are going to help you live the kind of life that can help you thrive, because I think you really deserve to thrive. Every person, I think, deserves to thrive, but few will do the work to get out of their own way in order to make that happen. But that's the container that I offer. And also, if you don't want to join a membership, you can send me a one-time donation. You can buy me a snack. You could buy me something from my Amazon wish list. I so appreciate all of the support, or even just shoot me a note, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. I am truly not money motivated. I wish I was. I think I would be wealthier maybe. I am really more purpose motivated. So if I've helped you in any way, please let me know, because sometimes it feels like I'm just creating into the void. But I'm not creating into the void today, because I'm creating in response to people's questions. So I got two great questions about habits specifically. So I love when the threads of curiosity are aligning in this sphere. I also got a great question about the Spice Girls and feminism, which, like, I'm uniquely able to answer. I can't wait to do that episode too. Because I got an A on a Spice Girls paper in undergrad in a women's studies class. So, you know, anyway, I have studied them and I have thoughts anyway, but let's talk about habits today. So one of the questions was, I'd love to learn more about habit stacking and how it's worked for you, and related insights for early morning, end of day habits. So we're going to cover that today. And this is another great question. How have you created new habits or adjusted current habits to support your capacity building season? Kind of acknowledging that I do have a pretty cute backlog of habit episodes where I've talked about habits on the podcast. But yes, I am constantly developing and growing. And I've talked about this on IG stories, probably not on the podcast, that I am in a capacity building season. I kind of hit the end of 2023 was rough for me, just in terms of, like, it just felt like too much same. Like, I felt like I just wasn't getting the results in my life that I wanted to. And I was just kind of hitting the dissatisfaction that sometimes comes before I need to initiate a change in my life. I think a lot of people just wait around for exogenous change, that means outside of you, to happen, and then get shocked and thrown off guard when that happens. And I'm somebody, like, that used to be me, right? Like, I used to just, like, hold on to, I can pinpoint now through work with my intuition when I could have ended my last relationship, like a solid 15, 16 months before we ended. And yet I did not. Why? Because I was in, like, heavy self-deception and, like, trying to convince myself that I was safe and I had something to cling to. But in fact, things were changing and in me and, in the world, and I needed to, I could have been more aware of that, right? So instead I waited for the exogenous change, which was like a tsunami that went off in my life. So sensing dissatisfaction is a much lighter way to make the changes that I needed to make for whatever is coming. And I don't know what's coming, right? So it's actually, I feel like I'm really, like, gonna, if I cry, it's okay. But the loss of my feline companion is really devastating and really leaving me with some vacuum space for the universe to fill in. The universe loves a vacuum. Sometimes you got to give up to go up. And that's kind of one of my points. I wrote a lot of notes about habits. But one of my big points is this Warren Buffett talks about priorities. And he talks about, like, the difference between good and great people is that great people give up the good to get to the great. And Warren Buffett talks about, like, your priorities in life, and, like, make a list of all your priorities, put them in order, and then chop everything off at the bottom that isn't the top three. Because, like, if you can really focus, follow one course until successful, that's how you're actually going to get to where you want to be in life, right? I was hitting this dissatisfaction with my life. And so I was like, well, I can't change anything externally, but I can change things internally. So I decided I wanted to just level up how I was living. Because I think moving up here, I live in the Pacific Northwest in the woods. I want you to consider that I live in the North Pole, like Santa Claus. Moving up here, my rent was much lower than in the city. So I was able to release a lot of the toil that I had been dealing with for the first, like, 30 years of my, like, later childhood through adulthood, where I was a chronic burnt out overachiever. I was, much of my teenage years and my early adulthood, I was chronically depressed, very, very unhappy. but just kind of moving forward on this freight train of achievement, because overachieving had kept me safe in childhood and in a, you know, tumultuous alcoholic family dynamic childhood, right? With people who were very focused on status and education as a means of survival, because that worked for them, right? And it's true. In like 1980, having a lot of degrees meant that you could make a lot of money. But like, just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you have a life that's worth living for you, right? And so I think that's something that's really important, is to define success for yourself and then create the life that's going to get you there through your behavior. And I definitely was defining success externally instead of internally. And so moving up here and having to toil less meant that I got to heal a lot. And in many ways, I was in like a freeze response from long-term burnout that I was just healing from. So I've kind of been afraid to push harder because I don't want to burn myself out again. And I trust myself more. That was my big theme in 2023, was trust, was working on trust. And I trust myself to be enough for every circumstance I'm in. And I also am kind of recognizing opportunity and like what that means. And like from a spiritual perspective, what opportunity is. Opportunities just kind of show up for you, right? And you're either available to be at bat and take the hit or not, right? And Bruce Lee said something about like kicking and practicing the same kick 1,000 times versus like learning 1,000 kicks. Like, I think a lot of people are, we have so much knowledge, so much to learn, like now on the internet, right? Like you can learn a lot, but like, it's really about, let's see, I put this quote here. Where it's, anyway, I'll get to it. I wrote it down. It's like a John Maxwell quote about like, basically like, learning versus experience. Like learning prepares you, experience is what you actually learn through. And so I decided I needed more experiences. So in my capacity building season, I got really clear with myself about what my top priorities were, and like making those like, and what I wanted to learn through those experiences, right? Because like when I endeavored to start dating again, my goal was to see who is Bevan now in dating, because I'm very different than I was the last time I was dating, right? So it's the same thing. Like when I kicked up the gears and went into a capacity building season, it was really interesting because like kind of all hell broke loose. Like I was more triggered in January of 2024 than I had been probably for the entire year of 2023, maybe even 2023, 2022, and 2021. Like, and in many ways, like it was just like me kind of coming, my friend, one of my besties, Jess Baker, great episode with them from November 2022 about somatics and the body, right? But Jess basically walked me through like, you're coming out of a freeze response, which means you're going back through fight flight. So like, you just need to remember that like, this is normal and it's okay to feel crazy. Because I did feel kind of crazy for a while. Plus like my cat got really sick. Plus, like, then in February, my cat went to be an ancestor and all of that, right? But I have kept my habits. Like, I'm past the 66-day mark on the habits that I endeavored to do. I'm not going to tell you the nitty-gritty of my habits, because that's more proprietary, and it doesn't matter. I want you to do what's right for you, right? But I'm going to talk to you more about, like, the mindset of the capacity building and, like, how that might help you in your life, like, developing habits. Something I want to just remind you is that one of the most important things you can do with habits is to habituate self-intervention, because your habits are either nourishing you or they're depleting you, right? And I think sometimes if you're like me, when I was a depressed girly, you're habituating your spirals and you're spiraling down. Because I can spiral myself. I could break my own heart right now. I could get you to hurt my feelings by just thinking through how you could hurt my feelings, right? Like, this is just, I don't know if it's because I'm my astrology, like I'm really good at this. I don't know if it's just because I practiced it for a long time, but like, wow, can I hurt my own feelings? I don't know if it's because I was raised by a Cancer, but I'm calling out Cancers. Cancer is a sign that can hurt their own feelings. It's a water sign. Anyway. But like, I can spiral down or I can spiral up, right? And like, habituating self-intervention means that when you have thoughts that come through, intrusive thoughts that make you feel bad about yourself, you have a thought interrupt that comes through and releases you of those thoughts. I just had the aha moment the other day that, like, I was like, oh, now that I'm getting better and better at habituating self intervention, right? Like, and also like behaviors too. Like when I notice that I'm crabby, like I need to do something. You know what I mean? I'm not just going to sit in my crabbiness and be crabby. Like I want to feel better. I suffer from my bad moods more than anybody else. Right. And I think some people just make it everyone else's problems. That's also codependency. We're healing codependency, y'all. So just a reminder that there is so much that you can do just by minding your thought life and making those habits. The thought habits are the most important ones. But it's also behaviors too. So like if you have behaviors that get in the way of you thriving, like habituate self-intervention around those, right? Something I learned from the book Atomic Habits, which is a lot of my habit. I just finished it for the fourth time because every time I read a book, I'm in a new place in my life and I have like refreshed goals. Like my goals kind of are the same that they were 4 or 5 years ago, which is a little depressing, but I'm working on having a better relationship with my goals because it's just direction, right? And I can't, like, it's really kind of like I do the action and I trust God, and I'm a woman of faith. Like I trust God with the outcome, right? Like, and like open the hearts to hear, the ears to hear, the eyes to see all of it, right? Like, and like, I'm just here doing me heavily and like whoever it's for, right? So one thing that's so important though, is like habits take the thinking out of doing. So like you want to develop your habits slowly, but surely. That's why like there's a lot of science around different lengths of time. 21 days, 66 days is like the one that I really aim for. But really for me, I'm doing it quarterly, like 90 days at a time. Like I kind of reset, like I have like yearly goals for like very actionable words, right? Like this year's goal around feeling is curiosity, because curiosity helps lead to happiness. And there's a lot of people in the world doing things I don't understand. So just getting curious, like in my interpersonal interactions with people. And audacity, because audacity is something I learned from Mylake Teal. She's a great podcast. I highly recommend it. And she said that audacity is success across all industries. People are audacious. And so that's kind of, it's again, like me taking more at bats, like trying more, risking a little bit more, so that I can keep building myself into the kind of person that just keeps taking the shot and not worrying so much about the outcome, just worrying about me being like a slugger at life. Right. Okay. So habits are your repeated behavior. We think, then we behave, we repeatedly behave, and then we become, that's your life, right? And so it's also science that you become the 5 people you hang out the most with. And I've been very intentional about who I allow to influence me for the past, very intentional for the past 4 years, right? Like, and I would say like over life, like intuitively intentional, but like definitely getting better and better. Cause like when I was in my early 20s, I fell into a group of people who regarded bodies with love and care, and regarded me as a fat person, as someone who was a babe. And that was very refreshing. In fact, shocking to me as a person who had grown up in white supremacist beauty standards that hated bodies, right? So I needed to be around people who viewed me with the kind of love and care I needed, right? And like the reason why my blog is called Queer Fat Femme is because those 3 identities, like once I like recognize, oh my God, I'm all 3 of those things and I'm a babe and that's great, right? That freed me up. So I wanted to be that in the internet when like there wasn't a lot of queer fat femmes out there. Now with social media and the democratization of information streams, we do have access to a lot of diverse people from a lot of walks of life. And I think that's fantastic. And I would encourage you to manage the information that's coming into you, because that's going to affect you so, so much in everything, right? So like kind of the information that we bring into our lives is also a habit, right? Like if you're scrolling mindlessly, that's different than like consuming the content from the creators that create the world that you want to live in, right? And back the last eclipse season in like October of 2023, I got really clear. I needed better energy exchange with the people I was in life with, just like more even energy exchange, and that the people influencing me, I wanted them to also care about the world in a way where they spoke truth to pseudo power, meaning like I went through and I flushed a ton of celebrities that I was following, and people whose art, like, I didn't feel like was making a big difference to me on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, and I still like consume art, but like, I'm so intentional about like who and how people are talking to me. I need to be supported speaking my mind, especially speaking my mind out against genocide, because I think that mass murder is wrong. And I don't want to be so, I mean, I don't have a boss for a reason. Like, I don't want to be so afraid of what I say getting me fired that I don't say stuff, right? So it's really about that. And so again, taking more risks, like speaking my mind is taking a risk. And that's part of that capacity building, is like also caring what I say and who's saying stuff to me and like how I'm speaking into the world. I think a lot about my daily habits as devotional practices. Devotion is defined as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. And it's also associated with religious worship or observance. And I think a lot, John Maxwell, one of my favorite leadership authors, talks about when you get in front of someone you admire, have questions for them and think through those questions ahead of time. And when and maybe then you'll get to talk to them again. And so there's a lot of people I admire. And I think through like, what are questions I would ask this person, like if I got the chance to sit with them. And one of the questions that like comes up for me a lot, especially around artists, is like asking them, like, what do you do devotionally to honor the gifts that God has given you, right? Because some people are like, some people's greatness is like actual God-given talent plus greatness, meaning the practice of showing up for that again and again. And I think it's Atomic Habits that talks about devotional practice and like, or deliberate practice, where like you just keep showing, but that might be, it might be grit. There's a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth, which is also very good. And I think she talks about deliberate practice, which is where you just keep showing up to practice. And a lot of people just have that talent that they've applied greatness to, which is great. But like, I think everyone has something to offer, regardless of whether or not you have a talent, right? But like people who have that talent, like I'm so curious, like how they show up devotionally to that, right? Like whether that's like, I don't know, a guitar player picking up the guitar every day, or a songwriter sitting down and writing a song every day. Vincent van Gogh painted every day, and he was an Aries with a lot of Aries in his chart. And his, it's funny because like there is science, like studies that show like just creating more ends up creating more good, right? Like, you know, just by showing up again and again and again. So something that I do intentionally is not focus on perfection, just focus on doing and seeing what resonates, right? And like kind of trying to do more of what resonates, but also like following my instincts as an artist too. Cause like, Chani, the astrologer, Chani Nicholas, she has a really great book I'm reading right now. And she talks about like how she felt like a late bloomer, but actually what she does now, the technology didn't exist the way she delivers it now, back when she started. And so it's almost like being a late bloomer is waiting for the world to catch up with you, right? But like, you might as well just start and keep going, right? And show up devotionally to what really matters to you. And again, like that Warren Buffett stuff about like the top priorities in your life, because a lot of times like our good habits are what propel us forward. Our bad habits are what are keeping us back. And like thinking through, there's another book, I'm not going to give you all the books I read, but like there's another book I was reading that talks about like write out what the cost is of your bad habits and like let it like glare at you in the face, because that is just real. Okay, so James Clear wrote Atomic Habits and created, I think popularized the term habit stacking. I don't know that he came up with it, but he's certainly credited for it. But that's, habit stacking is just stacking something else with a current habit. I have found great success with habit stacking. It's one of the best parts I got out of that book. And something that's really helped me a lot is habit stacking on my daily walk. This is the time, like if you don't have a spiritual practice and you know you're kind of craving it, you need it. Like the world is only getting more bonkers. Again, precedented times are over. Like, and the way you adapt to uncertainty, I think, is just by being really rooted in like that deeper well, right? Like Casey Musgraves has a new song out called Deeper Well, obsessed with it, love it. And it's really about like finding that deep well inside you that can help you feel safe no matter what. And getting really rooted in that. And I think like our habits and our devotion and our spiritual practice, I mean, that's what for me, that's what digs my well, right? Some people just like say they need to be out in nature or like whatever. For me, it's like nature, but like nature to me is like the connection to God and to spirit. And for me, God isn't like some old man in the sky. It's the energy that animates my heart and my breath and like is the potential to turn the acorn into the oak tree, which I think turns the Bevan into the Bevan who is at her full potential, right? And like you at your full potential, which is like, I think we all come in with these great potentials, but it's like trained out of us so that we can instead focus on exchanging our labor for time, our time for money, using our labor to be extracted by the state to like, you know, go pay for missiles to kill people, kill little kids across the world. It's all connected. All of this is connected. So anyway, a lot of life is just like a lot of following your gut, your instincts, your creativity is just trusting the jolly free fall and taking big risks. And like, they don't have to, they can feel big in the moment, you know, but like, as I continue to build my capacity and take more risks, it's like 20 seconds of discomfort feels a lot better because the rest of the time I'm not stressed about not doing the thing that I know I need to be doing, right? Because if you have a thing that's nudging you, it's draining you. Just do it. Just take the risk. And then you'll see, right? Like I took a big risk in October, I did this like open letter and like, it was a great idea, but then like, nothing happened out of the open letter to the creator I wanted to collaborate with. But I actually just decided to run with the idea to the capacity that I could do it. And it has been a great success for me artistically. And I'm really glad I did that. So like, you know, just risk the no so that you can get to the yes. Okay, I'll put a link in the show notes to a Patreon video I did about the habit stacking I do on my daily walk. I actually walk you through like as I walk through the forest, walk you through the things that I do. It's like a variety of essentially prayers and meditations that I do that kind of ground me and keep me centered. But I believe really strongly that God can only work in the present moment. And so, but you got to show up for that. And so habit stacking on my daily walk has been really helpful. I'm really into like a solid morning routine, midday routine, and night routine. And I have found so much benefit in my life to doing that. And just like, again, it's priorities. Sometimes I've gotten to the perfectionist place because, you know, the inner perfectionist dies hard where I try to do too much in the morning and then it's like an hour long thing. Much more doable for me if it's like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? It's like 11 minutes of meditation. I like it's bonkers to me that I am now a consistent meditator given where I started 15 years ago. I tried so hard and it took a long time. And then now I'm a consistent meditator because I see it as like a non-negotiable. I don't like how I feel when I don't meditate in the morning. And so I do it. And I think one of the most important things to do is to enter the day with a calm nervous system. If you're a PTSD survivor, CPTSD survivor, those the people I know who are survivors of experiences like that, they have strong morning routines and they really take charge of the nervous system ahead of time. And I do a tapping video in the morning. The one I do is Gala Darling's morning manifestation. It's 5 minutes, so easy, and just gets my nervous system settled in a way that it really like thrives because of it. I do affirmations. I started my affirmations practice a long, long time ago. And I got intentionally consistent about 4.5 years ago. And then maybe 4 years ago, like I noticed, like, I was like, I say I do affirmations, but I don't, you know, like I don't do them consistently. So I started doing it every morning and I knew I needed to like take barriers out. So I started doing it laying in the bed. I started meditating laying in the bed because like, I prefer a very slow, gentle morning. And so waking up and then having to get up and go sit on an uncomfortable cushion is not my vibe. So I meditate laying down in the bed. And then I would read my affirmations from a note app on my phone. And now actually recently, I just decided to beef up that habit and go do it as mirror work. It's almost like I have a great therapist and he talked about how he shifted his affirmations to mirror work affirmations and he was seeing great results. And so I was like, okay, let me do it. I'm ready. So I like, I just have a slow morning and I built in just slow morning into my life. And that has helped so much because like, I lived that life where I was in the rush all the time. I lived that life where I was always chronically underslept, chronically overthinking and underfeeling. and it was not a happy life. And I want to be happy and peaceful, you know, like that vibe matters to me. And like what I notice now, like at the lunchtime of life, when I look back, I remember how I felt. I don't remember the day-to-day things I did. I remember how I felt, but your habits are creating how you feel, right? So like, anyway, so now I'm doing my affirmations slowly but surely. Get up, go to the mirror, do the affirmations. And then I go start my tea. And then I sit down and I do my tapping video. And then I like to read an oracle card every day. That was my guides wanted to talk to me through oracle decks every day. And so I just vibe which deck it wants to be. And I do that. And then when I'm really on my game, I'm journaling at that point, because that's the like 5-step morning process. But you know, just doing what works for you. At night, I got the message that I needed to be doing a hip opener at night, just checking in my inner child. At some point I will have a whole yoga routine at night or a stretching thing I do at night. I'm not there yet, but what has, like, this is another thing from Atomic Habits, is just taking the barriers out of doing. So, instead of like me unrolling a mat and doing yoga, which hasn't happened consistently, I get on my bed and I just do a long supported child's pose, opening my hips. And like, that has helped a lot, because I like take that time also, habit stacking, to do an inner child check-in. Your inner child is either going to scream and demand attention from you through self-sabotage, or you're going to set up time to connect and care what the inner child wants to do. Okay. So James Clear talks about this in, I don't know if this is from Atomic Habits or if this is just a random quote I found on the internet, but I loved it. It's about consistency. In theory, consistency is about being disciplined, determined, and unwavering. In practice, consistency is about being adaptable. Don't have much time? Scale it down. Don't have much energy? Do the easy version. Find different ways to show up depending on the circumstances. Let your habits change shape to meet the demands of the day. Adaptability is the way of consistency. Ah, adaptability is the way of consistency. It's so like true for me, like going through like setting the intention to do more, setting up habits to follow through on that, and following through are like all different things, right? And like I have kind of gone through like a lot. Like I feel like I'm in the never-ending story and I just keep walking through the gauntlet. Like, is there more? Is there more? You know, like. And sometimes life is a shit storm and it's just like that. But like, I have continued to show up for myself, even in this bare minimum way, like showing up and taking the hit anyway. Right. And I'm still like, there's still more I want to add to it. Like I've gotten consistent about the podcast again. I've been consistent. I've continued to be consistent about aerobics. It's not easy, but it's the most important thing for me. And so like now I want to be really consistent about blogging and writing again, which a writing practice, I've had many episodes about my writing practice, but we're working on it. Right. But like just having grace with myself as I develop that. Cause like, again, like doing more, adding more value to the world gives me more chances to help more people. Right. And that's all I really want. Like in my business is just to help more people. And I have so much available to help people. Okay. So expanding your nervous system to handle more risk is a habit. That's something that I've really been doing, again, that 20 seconds a day. And really like trusting like the butterflies that come up that mean go, right? Because like fear is just unknown. Like, and fear is part of expanding your nervous system, like feeling awkward, right? But like recognizing like you want to be in your growth zone, not your panic zone. And you want to have, like for me, I've really developed a support system in my life. Like my family and friends are part of my support system, but then I also have like a coach, a mentor, and a therapist that really, really help. And that's like me trusting my support system so that I can trust myself to take more risks. I can trust myself to get back up after I fall down. Cause like there was a long time where I would just get knocked down and just lay there, which is fine. But like that was depression, right? Like I needed more rest. And so I needed to lay there for a while. But now I'm just kind of learning how to be more resilient and care more about the fact that I took the hit than I do about the result, right? Like, so funny. Something, I got a connection yesterday that like, I was longing for this connection and then it happened and I felt nothing. Like, I just felt like, oh, okay, I'm glad this happened. And that was it, right? Like, it was so interesting. Like, I was like, oh, the longing part is so interesting in the head. And then when it actually happens, it really matters more about me doing the thing I said I was going to do, right? It's really fascinating how the brain like will trick us into thinking these things, and especially if we're overthinking, underfeeling. Oh, this is a really cute quote I got from a couple who has a very successful marriage and successful business. They were doing a talk and I wrote this down. They kind of vowed to each other because their parents, one of their parents was like really against them getting married, and they've been married, I think, 50 years at this point. But they said, it doesn't matter what else happens in our lives. As long as we have each other, we can handle anything. And I thought that was so romantic. But like, it also, to me, like, isn't even about like waiting around for the romance. Because I talked about this in my recent solo episodes, one of the two that I talked about, like modern love or like romance, where I noticed that like Brandi Carlile expands her nervous system with the twins that she performs with. It's like she can take more risks because she has this like these two people and like all of her family that she keeps around her. Like, that's an expansion of your nervous system to have people that you can count on around you. And so I feel like in some ways, like, I don't have that romantically, but I certainly have that with my family and friends. And something I've learned from the recent departure of my feline overlord, Biscuit Reynolds, is like, to having that experience in a time where I don't have a romantic partner and where I don't have an animal companion has been really difficult, but it has forced me to rely more on God in the unknown, right? Like, uncertainty requires you to rely on something bigger than yourself, which faith is something, belief in things unseen. And it's also made me realize how good I have it and how much my friends and family have shown up for me, and they really have, and I'm so grateful. And I'm going to say this, like, maybe unpopular opinion, maybe you're going to feel a type of way about this, but I think sometimes the loss of an animal companion is harder than humans. It's certainly been harder for me to weather the loss of Biscuit Reynolds than it was to weather the loss of my deadbeat dad, you know, even though that hit me a lot harder than I thought it would, and in ways I didn't expect. But like, it's really interesting to see the distinction, because Biscuit Reynolds was there for me every day, 1,000%, and my dad was not. And he could not be because of his ego. That's a different episode. But anyway, all that to say, like, that has forced me to realize what an incredible, or it's enabled me to have a lesson about what an incredible support system I have, even if it's not within the home, it's still within my heart and through, I call my phone my love rectangle, because it's how I see my friends, and all the people I love is in this little rectangle. And it's also, I'm mindful of the energy that comes through that love rectangle, right? Is it loving? Okay. Capacity building, talking about my capacity building. It has been so important to me to be moving forward at the pace of peace. And that is a very personal definition for like whatever's happening at the time in our lives, right? Like, but the pace of peace is something for me that is now non-negotiable. I had someone who was like working with me on like maybe doing a brand content deal. Like, I don't do a lot of them. You'll notice on the podcast, I don't have a lot of ads or partnerships, because like, it's a lot of work to do that kind of stuff. And like, you know, I don't want to have like people breathing down my neck about what content I share. Like, I want to share from the heart. So anyway, there was a person who's kind of like demanding quicker responses from me than I felt comfortable giving. And I just said, I'm working at a pace of peace. So, you know, I'll get back to you when I get back to you. But also just like for me, like when I build my days, like I focus on like the most important stuff, and then I do more when I can, but I just trust that like I'm getting these things done. And what's most important to me is these habits that I'm building and not about the results. And that's been different as someone who grew up an overachiever. Now I'm a peace achiever. It's like, how am I feeling about this? How can I push myself a little bit more out of my comfort zone, but then also make sure that I'm following through on the responsibilities that I said I would, because I am a very responsible, accountable person, and it matters to me to be accountable. And then when I can't follow through on something, actually talking to someone about it instead of just like shame spiraling and avoiding it, which like I used to do when I would get overwhelmed, is I would just get in a freeze response instead of just being honest. And shame, it's like a bacteria, like that like disappears in the light, you know, like that's the thing, if you can just talk about it with somebody. And people are way more empowered by your failures than they are impressed by your success, you know. And like, I'd rather empower people than impress people. So, you know, that's why I'm here being Bevan. This is why my podcast has a naked picture of me on the front, because I'm trying to be naked here, right? Okay. Also just moving forward at the speed of trust in relationships. Like, And pausing to listen to my intuition. Your intuition will take you fast if you let it, because like it's never at my pace, but like it saves me from so much drama that, like, again, for those of us who grew up in chaotic environments, and like overfilling a schedule, like peace feels uncomfortable and chaos feels normal, right? So just like thinking about that. Okay. Is your busyness status? My leak had a great podcast recently, where she talked about how busyness is ego and like you can go slow. And like, I think there is something to that. Like, I look back at life and like, I wish I could, in many ways, like, I feel like I'm having a different, like, a new inner childhood. Like, the last like 4 years, I've just been able to chill in a way I couldn't, and been able to choose my priorities. Thank you to my Patreon supporters for like, you know, knowing I have like a base amount that's covered from my Patreon. It doesn't cover all my bills, but it covers most of them. And I haven't had to scramble like I once did, or toil like I once did. And like having not choosing to just be busy as a way to like be busy, but like busy in a purposeful way, has felt very peaceful to me. And so, yeah, some days I feel like I'm like, I'm doing a lot, like, but like, actually not everyone's that accountable. So like people will flake on me for appointments. So that's more time. And I redeem the time always in ways that like, you know, help move me forward. Right. Americans really work themselves to death for nothing. And it's like a form of status to like just keep working, but that's just we're hypnotized by the state to keep working and work and toil. Instead of just like focusing on like what's the quality of life I want to have, and like who are my priorities, and like all of that kind of stuff. I think about like how if you die, your job is going to replace you. But like if you die, like you can't get replaced if you're like a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a friend, you know, like there's never going to be a replacement for you, you know, because you're one of one. You're not a line item in a budget. But I also saw a really good meme about billionaires. Like, billionaires are saving up for what? Hell? Like, you can't, the most you can spend in a lifetime to live like a very comfortable, luxurious life is $50 million, as someone who studied a lot of wealth and aspiration, right? Like, Dolly Parton is a millionaire, not a billionaire, because she gives so much money away, right? Like, so think about that. Like, billionaires are just hoarding, keeping resources away from people who really need it, you know? Like, it's so sad. It's a sad, sick way of living, and it's all about status. My favorite acronym for status is still too arrogant to understand success. And as someone who was a lawyer and like did things that like were very much about status, like I recognize now like what bullshit that was. And like, status does not make a happy life. Like, it's, and everyone's happy life is distinct, right? Like, the whole point of this podcast is like all the millions of ways there are to be a happy, successful adult. I want to say there are billions of ways, because there's so many humans on the planet, but so few people are actually pursuing their own path to happiness and peace, that I would just say it's millions. But I'd love for it by the end of my lifetime. Oof, if it could be billions, that'd be really nice. Anyway, so think about, why are you busy? And are you busy doing the most important things, right? I love the recovery slogan, when I got busy, I got better. And I would say, like, when I got busy serving other people, I got better. Something that's been very helpful to me in this grieving time is continuing to move forward with my purpose and my habits, and also connecting with other people. It's something that like matters to me a lot, is to maintain my relationships and my friendships. So I've been reaching out to like old friends, like on Facebook and stuff like that, and like just catching up. And it's been so good. I've learned so much about people. People surprise me. And like, it's been really cool to just like get into other people's lives and kind of forget about my problems for a while. You know, like I can, it's funny, the other day I had like a bunch of calls in a row. And then afterwards, like, I actually felt really sad. And I was surprised, because I was like, oh, I would have thought I'd be more uplifted. Because usually, if I have at least three connections a day, and it doesn't need to be like an hour long conversation, it can be like 5 minutes of a good connection, right? A true, not like a small talk chit chat connection, but a true, how are you connection. And usually the three like makes the difference in my mental health, which like I have a habit tracker app. I use the Dailyo app. It's very good. And so I have like all the things I want to do in a day. My morning routine and my evening routine are in there, and like the midday stuff is in there. And I noticed, this was something I noticed in 2020, is like when I had three connections a day, it changed the outcome of my mental health for the next day. So I like got really back into recently, like, let me just talk to people. And it's been really helpful in the grieving times, because like I have, like on days where I'm like totally flipping out, I have a list of the things I can do, the next right thing, right? And so like thinking about other people, getting out of my head, talking to other people, connecting with other people, that helps me a lot. And I think a lot of peace is in mindfulness, and mindfulness is just being absolutely present in this present moment. Like I time blocked this time to visit with you to record this podcast, right? So like, it's funny because I'm time blocking it now, like on March 7th. I can't believe it's already March 7th, 2024, right? But like you're experiencing this whenever in the future, right? But like we're having asynchronous intimacy because we're connecting here. And I am being so present with you because I'm being mindful and present. I'm not thinking about what's coming next. I'm not thinking about what just happened. We're right here, right? Like that's real mindfulness. And that's the key to happiness, I think, is just being mindfully present and accepting of the present moment. Also gratitude. It's always a good one. I will say first thing in the morning, gratitude, even before I meditate, last thing at night as I'm going to bed, gratitude. Like that really does make a big difference too in thought life and how you experience. Oh, here's my John Maxwell quote. Experiences develop you, learning equips you. And I also really love, this is a Bible quote, like take what you like, leave the rest, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But I would just make Christ a blank. Sometimes I say the goddess who strengthens me. Sometimes I say through my support system that strengthens me, which also includes my metaphysical support system, the earth, and like my friends and family. So I actually was dealing with some, there are mean girls on my land. I live on a really wonderful like lesbian retirement community, but the people who are attracted to management of small communities are sometimes people who love positional authority and not service. And that's a shame. And so like, I was very annoyed and angry about like decisions that have been made on my land. And I was getting like, and I was just hearing noises. There's just a lot of noise, like, you know, lawnmowers and diesel powered vehicles when they could be electric, right? Like lots of things that annoy me, right? But instead of staying in the annoyed place, I wanted a mantra. Again, habituating self-intervention in my thoughts, because I didn't want to go on an annoyed thought loop, right? I wanted to come back to my peace. So I decided, it took me a while to pray on like, what's the right mantra for this? But like, I can do all things through blank that strengthens me is that mantra. So every time I hear an annoying sound, I turn it into a chance to remind myself of, you know, whose I am. You know what I mean? That I'm not here, I'm just here to help. I can't fix anything. I am just here to help. But like reminding me of the strength that I represent, that it's not, I pull from a deeper well. There is, a deeper well. I pull from a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. So my habits in this capacity building time are putting myself in the game. And like, that's really it. And it's not like I spend a ton of time in the game every day, but I don't spend a ton of time playing any other game other than what I want to put myself forward for. Yeah. Okay. I think that's it. That's all I had on my list. I did it. awkward ending. Love you so much. I hope you take what you like and leave the rest, as everything that I present here is not, it's not going to be everything for you. But I really want you to be the best you can be. I know you have so much more in you, because like there is this like, I don't know, I forget who said this. And I'm going to rough up this quote, but there's like this like 40% that we get to where we think that's our max, but like that's only at 40%. But like really, you have so much more to give. I'm very obsessed with like Mormon culture. I don't like that. I don't like religion. I'm not a fan of religion actually at all. I think it's a system of power and control to keep people who want to be positionally authoritative, like controlling other people. But I'm really big into faith, and I'm really big into human capacity. And I think there is something in Mormon culture that like promotes human capacity in a way that I find fascinating. And so I kind of study them a little bit. It's my favorite kind of niche internet thing is like Mormon moms on the internet. I don't know. They're good storytellers. And I'm like fascinated by this capacity thing and like taking the lid off your capacity. So I just want to remind you that you have been trained, not taught, to disempower yourself. And I'm so grateful that you tune into my podcast. And like, I hope it empowers you to just try something and do it little bit by little bit. Nothing crazy, nothing big. Like James Clear talks about Atomic Habits. Like, if you want to start going to the gym, drive to the gym, sit in the parking lot, drive home. That's it. And then once you start going into the gym, 5 minutes and then go home. Like, keep it light so that you don't burn yourself out. Because again, as the perfectionist I have been, I have like overdone my morning routine so many times that I burnt myself out on it. And I'm not here to burn out anymore. I'm here to like just chug along at the pace of peace and have a good time while I'm doing it. So I've also been time blocking dates. That's been part of this pace of peace too. I got a lot of spiritual messages that I needed to focus on joy and pleasure rather than just like toil and work, because I can really respond to hard life circumstances with overwork. She's done that before. And instead I've been really time blocking dates and like time to just go be with myself and to enjoy things. And, you know, and it was like, there was a message that came from a reading my friend did for me on Valentine's Day that was like, you, there's like these two paths I can see you taking. One is like the work path, and like this could be really fun and sexy, and like you'll still get partnership, but it'll be different. And like then there's like the big love path. And like I've kind of known the big love was like floating around my front door, and I'm patient. I've been working on the patience, but that's the path I chose. And so the reader was like, you really need to time block dates, then just self dates or whatever, but just make sure that is in your schedule. So it is like I, every week, like I plan my week out on my planner. Look, she's using her planner, and tomorrow's date day, you know? So like, just time blocking time to go do that and just get to know myself better and to have fun doing things that matter. So I hope you figure out what matters to you and you create the time and space for you to keep doing it. Okay, I love you so much. Awkward ending lasted way longer than I thought. Bye.